The vicar's going to be really surprised I'm speaking of kindness because I haven't been very kind to him tonight. I hope you're not keeping scores, Chris, because I've been unkind at least twice to you tonight, so I apologise. Okay, I'm going to read just two little pieces of scripture out before I start. I was kind of hoping Jeeves would stay up here because he's good, isn't he? I got a bit worried when I saw him walk up because, like, he's a professional Christian. So I kind of wish he'd stayed. So the first piece is Galatians 5, 22 to 26. It says, "But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature with all its passions and desires. The Spirit has given us life. He must control our lives. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another." And the second piece is very simply John 15:4, which says, "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I'm sometimes not very kind, but I try. The definition of kindness that I like the most is, it simply says, the giving of something to someone without any expectation of a return. And for me, kindness is a true gift of love. It's a tangible experience that makes both the giver and the recipient feel better as a result. Some of you know my thoughts on gift giving and my want for people to buy, especially my children, experiences and memories rather than things. And so when Graham asked me in May what I wanted for my birthday, I asked him for a garden and no small task. And I already had a garden. We had a garden, but it was a place that made me feel really sad and frustrated. And the bottom part, the patio bit, was fine. And that's the place that we used to kind of dash out to for 10 minutes of sunshine every summer. But the top part was just a kind of mix of dry clay in summer, which was just like a clay mask, and patchy grass in the... And patchy grass. Oh, just dreadful, dreadful, dreadful. And every summer, I always miss the last cut of the summer. Do you know that? You know when you think, oh, I must cut the grass. And then you're like, I've missed the last cut. Does anyone else do that? And then in the winter, it was just wet and sludgy. And it was a pit. And we have a dog. And the mud just used to get caught up in the dog's paws. And it just made sure I had a really close relationship with my bucket and my mop. And... twice a day, every day, I'd be getting it out just to, because I couldn't grab the dog quickly enough. And so Gray spent an entire weekend digging up the grass and hard landscaping the garden. And it's the kindest thing he's ever done for me. And he doesn't realize, it's the kindest thing you've ever done for me. And he's like, wow, I wish I hadn't bought you the other things. But since May, I've spent lots of hours in my little oasis, and I grab coffee early in the morning and something cold and fizzy when my friends come over. And I've sat and watched bees in the lavender and the birds in nesting in the eaves. And it's felt like I've caught my children's laughter as they've bounced on the trampoline and laughed harder when our dog has... joined in the fun. I've realized that laundry can be hung outside in November and honeysuckle produces berries once the flowers disappear. And because usually once the sun set at the end of the summer holidays, I've been inside and I haven't been in my place of joy. This year I've willingly swept leaves and watched sunrises and sunsets, and my garden has been a place of peace and refuge and a place of sheer joy. It's shown me, my garden, that I'm a preschooler in the knowledge of the land, but I come with a willing heart. And it's also showed me love, great love from the person who crafted it, and my joy is ongoing. And in the garden, I also experience the fruits of God's creative spirit. Until very, very recently, like last Sunday, the fruits of God's spirit felt like a very big challenge to me. And then I had, it was a list for me. The fruits of the spirit were a list of 9 things to beat myself up over, and 9 ways that I could see that I was failing every day as a Christian. Does anyone else feel like that? Or is it just me? And I'd realized because of last Sunday that I'd misread the fruits of the Spirit, that I'd just looked at them in isolation. In the course of any one car journey, I could quite easily strike my way through every single fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and if anyone from the back seat dared suggest that my words weren't actually very Christian, I would return that they are the Christian versions of what I'm thinking about that person in the car over there, and strike my way through another 3. Humility, self-control, self-control, Lord, self-control. And so the fruits to me were a series of ask what your heart's desires to God. And I've begged and pleaded and offered silent deals with God for him to give me at least a couple of the fruits of the Spirit, as though they were gifts on my children's Christmas list. I started with patience and I'm still waiting. But last weekend I spent the weekend with St. Ali Tranta. And I said, I've got to do a talk. God has given me at least the wisdom to surround myself with godly people. And I was like, I'm going to do a talk next Sunday. She said, oh, what's the talk? And I said, oh, it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's kindness. And Ali said, I love kindness. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm finding it really hard. And Ali seemed not to be finding the fruits of the Spirit challenge at all. You can't hear that because I've got the mic. I'm totally going to paraphrase Ali, but she said something profoundly simple, and she said, fruits are from God that can only be obtained by being rooted in him, and it's by being in relationship with God that you'll naturally become more like him, and we're made in his image, and he is the vine, and so root yourself in him and you'll naturally gain the fruits of his Spirit by becoming more like him. Is that right? That's kind of what you said, but better. You did it better than I just did. And so they're not a list of ways that I or we can fail, but they're a list of blessings that our Father bestows on us, his children, through the Spirit of God just being in our hearts and resting in our hearts. And it's up to us, I think, to realize that, isn't it? When Paul wrote his letter to Galatians, where we're finding him detailing the fruits of the Spirit, he really challenges the Christians of the time to change their mindset and their behavior from that of the Jews, which was so law-driven. And the Galatians is all about having faith in Jesus, and out of that faith comes the love of God to all. And rather than following historical rules, and I think it's in like Galatians 3 where he's saying, you know, the rules were there to show you the wrongdoing until the coming of Abraham's descendant, but once Jesus arrived, whilst the laws are not wrong, they don't bring life and they don't bring freedom. Only Jesus can bring that. I have previously read the fruits of the Spirit without remembering God's grace within them, and that as we were worshiping, and you know, he makes all things new, and his grace is poured into us when we spend time with him, and out of that come the fruits. Jesus is the giver of life and the bringer of freedom, and he cuts the cords of slavery and walks us into new life with him. In Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, he speaks of becoming best friends with God. And he challenges us not to expect this relationship to come out of like a weekly attendance at church or even a daily Bible reading, but to offer everything, like all of our lives, to serving him. And when Jeeves came up and said that, I was just like, you know, because whenever I'm preparing a talk, like the bit before I do the talk, I always say, Lord, I think I've heard you wrong, or I don't really know if I've heard you right here. Am I doing it? And when Jeeves came up and started, I was like, I must have heard God right, because like he's saying some of the stuff that's here. You said it really great, Jeeves. And to serve him, to give all of our lives to serving him, and to not live in the flesh that results in sinful behavior, but to rather live under God's direction. It's what Jeeves is saying, you know, just under his grace and giving our whole life to him, and not just the bit we want him to take and to direct, but God's grace is his loving kindness to us, given to us, his undeserving children. Paul reminds us, as was promised to Abram, that through us God can bless the world. But first we need to be blessed and be refreshed. And often the kindest thing we can do is give ourselves and our vulnerability to God, and to just sit with him in that, and to allow him to minister to us and through us. A few weeks ago, Ali and I were at work, and I didn't want to be there that day. My little boy was really struggling. I just wanted to be with him. And I tried to just be there for the people that I was working with, and I felt I wasn't being authentic in that. I was expecting them to be vulnerable without me being vulnerable. And I think we can sometimes do that in life, can't we? We serve and we forget that other people can serve us. Sometimes, I'm probably not saying that as well as I could, but God really prompted me in the moment to be vulnerable and to share the struggles that I was having and what I was feeling upset over. And something really kind of amazing happened, because from feeling kind of detached from a situation and not wanting to be, God really ministered through these girls to me. And the conversation that developed was just incredible. And in my discomfort, they showed me incredible kindness. And the following week when we went in there, and what doesn't happen so much is they then ask about our lives. We are always asking about their lives. And the first thing that happened the following week was, how's your little boy doing? And, do you know, their kindness of remembering, it just really blew me away. And I just felt like God had really blessed me, like 2 weeks running through them. And it was just incredible. I just want to, I'm not reading from the Bible, I'm reading from Pay It Forward tonight, which is, I just wanted to share it, to be kind of reminded in our kind of simple way of just the impact that our kindness can have on the world. And I don't know if you've any of you have read this. It's a really simple book called Pay It Forward, and it's been made into a film, and it's about a child who does a class experiment of how they wanted to change the world. And he came up with this really simple thing, this simple experiment. And he just said, you see, I do something good, real good, for three people. And when they ask how they pay it back, I say they have to pay it forward to three more people each. So 9 people get helped. Then those people do it to 27. And he turned on the calculator, punched in a few numbers. It sort of spreads out, see, to 81, then 243, then 729, then 2,187. See how big it gets? And it's such a simple little paragraph, but I just thought, wow, that's God's impact on our world. That's the impact that we can have on our world if only we let him, and if only we allow him to work through us. And that comes at a cost, and that comes with sacrifice. But the sacrifice that he has already given for us was his only son. And therefore, the great thing about Paul is, is that he challenges us to step away from society and he's very challenging, but he powerfully points us directly to God and says, because that's the reason. And so I just think that's how it is with God, isn't it? Like, we sit with our vulnerability and we choose him over the alternatives. And we do it because he's gentle and kind. And like my summer in my garden, we develop this relationship and we see his goodness and he unveils his beauty to us. And he reminds us of ourselves and he reminds us of who he is. Because in knowing him more, we know ourselves more. And through his love and his spirit working through us, we can show our kindness to the world. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you that we are your children. And I thank you that your spirit just dwells within us and that you walk with us. And Father, I thank you for the kindness that you pour into our lives and how that is felt in love. And so, Father, I just really pray that over all of us tonight, that we are instruments for you and that you use us to bless others. And Father, through our kindness, Father, may the world around us feel your love. Amen.